listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 14th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, Michael. Glad to be here as always.
Glad.
It's the middle of July already.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Time warp.
It's going by fast.
Well, we're going to touch on this after the intro here, but I think the fabric of time-space is changing and time is going by impossibly fast. Can't just be me.
I agree.
Well, I'm glad to have you, Dr. Hunter. I'm glad to have those joining us live in the chat. Always love to get that feedback from you, and we enjoy that dynamic experience, but we thank those listening in the archives, too. We're glad that you choose to listen in, and hopefully we're able to impart some maybe different ideas and ways of thinking about things each week. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And tonight they do have important meaning, especially the first. It's going to be center. 1. Do no harm. Do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight's topic, of course, is do no harm. It's kind of a layered and interesting thing that we're going to be discussing tonight. A little bit more deep than it just seems at first glance.
I think so, Michael. You know, of course, it goes synonymously with do right.
Absolutely.
You know, do no harm, do right. But the do no harm, when we stop and think about that for a moment, do no harm. Well, how are we doing harm, I guess, is the thing that we have to look at.
Right, how do we define that?
Yeah, what is harm? Because, you know, a lot of people think they're doing right, but they don't know that that's harmful, even though their right is only in the context of, you know, their reality. You know,
right.
And I know that sounds kind of jumbled up in a way, but...
Well, it's about perspective, and some people... We all have our beliefs. We all think one thing might be the right course of action that might be in opposition to what others think. And unfortunately, those that don't follow the, you know, one of the central principles of belief, not only of do no harm, do right, but also... let's see. Essentially that we're responsible for ourselves. We can't try to control other people. We don't have a right to try to influence unduly other people or control them or and make their choices for them.
See, that's critical. That's the most critical element to the do no harm when it comes to our dynamic.
Right.
Our human dynamics. Because... And again, I don't want to harp on this, but for instance, the dogmatic religions, they believe they're doing right, and they also feel that it's, you know, their duty to tell others, you know, what
right.
to do. But that's where we draw the line. As metaphysical humanists, we draw the line to impose a view or impose our will, if you want to say it that way, and we don't promote that fear that something's going to happen if you don't take on what I believe.
Right.
You know, you're not going to hell, you're not going anything. So it's making sure that we don't impose ourselves on others. We can make suggestions, we can have a conversation, but
right.
to allow free will, provided there's no harm.
Right.
You see?
You know,
and we have to have some boundaries to know what that is, too. So.
Exactly. We all have a right to freedom over our lives up until our actions begin to affect others. At that point, we need to be considerate. And especially if those actions can be harmful, then that is a boundary you cannot cross. And it's, of course, a complex world, but go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, I was gonna, maybe we'll start small and then go big for a minute, but an example came to mind of a client who came to me years ago, and she wanted to know, ultimately, I read for her, and she said, yes, but am I moving to China with my boyfriend? And I said, geez, I didn't see that. And she said, but he's moving to China. And I said, well, did he ask you? And she said, no. But we've been together for 2 years. Well, if he didn't ask you, then you're not going. So, meaning you're more invested in the relationship than he is. Now, what's interesting to me is a young man in a relationship making plans for his life without a conversation with the woman he's been dating for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's harmful.
That's a red flag.
See, so he is inadvertently, although he is free to, man, you want to move to China for this job and do whatever, that's good for you. But he's inadvertently, you know, or maybe he knew exactly what he was doing. So
well,
she's going by an assumption that she's along for the ride. But they'd never had a conversation. So there's, again, that...
Well, fundamental lack of communication.
And that brings harm.
It
so
does.
Here, she's in pain. He's not in pain. He's going on with his life. He's moving forward, you know.
Well,
but she's the one now in pain. But she's in her own pain, kind of self-created, but she didn't mean to. And do you follow what I'm saying? So
sure.
In this dynamic that's so intimate and... really, it's how you're conducting the very basics of your life, investing yourself and your emotions and your spirit and your body in this relationship, and then somebody goes and you go into what happened. Well, there's these complexities
that
very often we don't look at.
Well,
and we don't want to, you know, cognitive dissonance. Okay, that's for sure.
Oh yeah.
But what this young man did, but they were probably both just as guilty because they never had the conversation. But he was the one that it's kind of like, you know, shooting an arrow. And he doesn't know how many people that goes through and what kind of a reverberating it does in his, you know, sphere of influence, and particularly to the woman he's with. So that's how do no harm. We have to really look at our honesty, our integrity, how we're, you know, relating to others and making sure that there's a clarity of understanding to the best of our ability. Do we tell everybody everything? Absolutely not. Need to know. You know?
Everything in balance.
But if you're in a really close relationship that when you're making a decision and you know that's going to affect other people, it's also then your responsibility to say, hey, I am taking these steps in my life, I really feel, and so on, and carry on. If it's, you know, it's not just a matter of, oh, your family's going to miss you if you leave. I'm talking about people it impacts. So at that very simple, self-responsible level, we often overlook You know, we don't want to look at how we are, you know, perpetuating harm. That it's very, very small.
Well, in this example, it seems like this young guy knew what he was doing. It sounds like he just wasn't as nearly as invested in the relationship as she was. And
exactly.
He was dismissive of her feelings. So he was in the wrong in that way. She was in the wrong by having not had a good communication with him, unless he flat out lied to her and said that he, you know, yes, mm-hmm. he was committed. This is long term. We're going to be, you know, this is on our path to spending our lives together as partners, and just
yeah.
completely bailed. That would be an entirely different situation. But if
yeah.
they just never talked about it and they just been kind of going together for a couple of years and they never
yeah.
communicated what the future was going to be, then, you know, you have two different people with two different sets of expectations. And
yeah.
that lack of communication, just as you pointed out, caused that harm.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of ways in which our actions are going to have consequences that we can't fathom, and often we'll never even be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Our perception is limited as human beings, unfortunately. And as an individual, we have, you know, even the best of us, even the most aware of us, we only have one perspective, and that's the one that we have. There's a lot of complex layers out there, and we have to do our best. You know, obviously, the rule is do no harm and do right. We do our best in every way to do no harm, to do what we think is right, in the also realizing that we can't impose unduly our beliefs on others. We can't control others. And there's layers to that, because, of course, there are rules that we come together as a society to make, to protect one another, to prevent others from doing harm. So in that way, yes, we exert a level of control, but, you know, go ahead, Dr.
Well, and then if we expand our thinking a little bit beyond ourselves and look at everything from what garbage we're disposing of, you know, how we're,
right.
what we use in our homes that contributes to more garbage, you know, and recycling, or,
you know, that giant floating garbage patch in the
mm-hmm.
Pacific is not going to get bigger by itself.
You know, but I'm going to stop you right there, Michael. What I find so offensive about this is when it comes down to the little consumer buying, you know, I recycle my stuff, I do all of that, and then I find out it's in the middle of the ocean, I'm mad. Because that's a company doing that. That's governments
mm-hmm.
doing that. So I'm assuming that this is going into some kind of recycling effort where it's not going to end up in the ocean, killing ocean life.
Well.
But that's where I see that in this hierarchy, we have people who don't take it as seriously as we might, you know, doing our part to recycle. So there's so many levels of how we're irresponsible and doing harm. You know, our intentions are good to, you know, put your paper here and your plastic there and, you know, your glass here and sort it out. And okay, I'm making that effort. But when
yeah.
others are not following through with what their jobs are, we have to hold them more accountable to that so that our efforts are not for nothing. See, so that's what I mean by that reverberating, you know, like,
and
yeah. so we have to be conscious of how that happens, and so whether it's environment or, I mean, what really, really knocks me out is people with no experience moving to the country, and actually there was a case just a few weeks ago outside Vancouver, some city folks moved to an acreage. And they were writing letters to the neighbor telling her to feed her goats so they'd shut up or sell them, because they didn't move to the country to put up with the noise. Even called the SPCA. You know, when the police are involved and everybody's looking at these folks saying, this is farm country. But you see, so inadvertently they're doing harm. But they don't know that because they're irritating everybody.
Yeah.
But from her perspective, the neighbor, you know, who's complaining is thinking the goats are bothering her. Well, she didn't check into who your neighbors are and what animals do. So it's interesting how we take this out further and further, how we've become irresponsible in looking at this really important, you know, principle of do no harm.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So we have to be more involved, and I think that's the only thing that's going to bring change that's beyond ourselves. So looking at ourselves microscopically and macroscopically, and, you know, being more involved to make sure that we are, you know, doing more of the right things.
Right.
That was a soapbox. Well, I just got off.
Hey, I appreciate my soapboxes from time to time. I think everybody has a right to a soapbox. And, you know, I just completely agree. In action, you know, in the face of something wrong, in the face when we can do something, when we actually have something that we can do to help, is truly negligent. You know, just like a lie of omission is still a lie. You know, just because you're not the one doing the wrong thing, if you have the capacity, if you have a realistic way to help the situation and you don't, you're enabling that situation to continue to exist.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
couldn't agree more, Michael.
You know, so we all have a responsibility to one another, and, you know, ultimately to the world in which we live, and it's about a balance. And we have an obligation, I think, to try to champion things that are going to perpetuate the notion of, you know, doing no harm and doing right and allowing people to live their lives. And we were talking about several things before the broadcast. And by the way, speaking of which, things that we were talking about, you know, our hearts are going out to those poor people in, you know, British Columbia, Dr. Hunter, where you are.
Thank you.
There are a lot of fires going on that are ravaging the, you know, western seaboard of the Pacific. And in the Southwest as well, in Arizona, there are fires raging due to the heat and the dryness. So a lot of people are being forced from their homes. And just while it's on my mind, just our hearts go out to you, honestly. It's, you know.
We've had some scary moments the last few days.
You had told me it had gotten pretty close. So, you know, please stay safe. And anybody that's listening that might be in the area, know that our thoughts are with you, and please stay safe. But
yeah, well, thanks. You know, it's again, everybody doing their part, and that's what's happening here. Everybody's got their evacuation kits ready, and wherever you live. But everybody participating, so doing the right thing, is people have their hoses ready, people stop on highways, put out little, you know, fires, and a lot of support.
You had mentioned that example of some guys that had stopped and put out a fire before the fire department even was able to get there, and that's a great example.
They were coming back from a job site, and they had a bit of water in their tank, and they, as soon as they saw it, they turned around in the middle of the highway, went back over to where they could get to it, and just brought the hoses out. Other people stopped and got the shovels, and there they were, and the fire department got there and said, wow, this could have been a real disaster, because it was just going so fast. And I have a friend working with one of the government representatives who, one of the town of Lytton just got completely wiped out. 15 minutes and the whole town was burned down. And so everybody, the people there, bless their hearts, they had nothing. So they're helping to get the people, you know, the food, the shelter, and, you know, over time to rebuild. But it's a grueling long process. And yet Washington State, I just heard tonight that quite a number of homes are gone, and all the way down through the coastline. So what is the right thing then? You know, when we say do no harm, and the right thing,
helping the community. It's coming together and not just standing idly by, but if you have the capacity to help your fellow human, do so. And one would hope that, God forbid, you were in a different situation where the shoe was on the other foot, and you're in a situation where, you know, your home is about to be, or is being in one of these areas that's this acreage of fires that are burning down sometimes entire towns or sections of neighborhoods. God forbid that happens to you. You would hope that your fellow human beings would be there to help you. That is how we have made it this far. And by becoming more cooperative, by helping each other more, by becoming more peaceful and the constant distrust and tribalism fading away slowly, but it's fading away. Sometimes it comes in fits and spurts, but it is through that mutual aid that we have come so far, and we depend on it. It is part of what being human is. So it's that duality of, yes, do no harm to the best of your ability and in the best of what that means in your heart, but also do right when you have the ability to. And that's a challenge to myself as much as anybody else. There are times where I could have done more, and I should have done more to help, and maybe, you know, different areas that have been impacted in hurricanes in Florida. You know, I've helped here and there with clients in my day job and things like that, checking on homes. But, you know, I'm sure I could do more. And when we come together, when we help one another, when we put petty tribalism aside and see one another as human beings and help one another, we make a better world. And that is the core of Do No Harm, making a better world.
You know, one of the things Jamil has just said in the chat room, he said, you guys pointed out that we do harm to others in subtle ways, but we also do harm to ourselves by our limiting, disabling beliefs.
Absolutely. Cool.
That's powerful for you say that, Jamil. And one of those beliefs, I think, is selfishness.
Yes.
You know, and our laziness and our fears, you know, and our I don't know why people think they're exclusive or privileged, or, you know, it's like cancer will never happen to me, or that
right.
will never happen to me. And it's always pointing the finger at those people. And but even in that, you know, our limited disabling beliefs minimizes our ability to become more compassionate, sensitive, you know, empathetic, never mind intuitive and psychic and all the other stuff I'm talking, you know, just this very basic humanity that's within us. And being able to even think for a moment about what the 9 principles of belief are and how that would impact humanity. So that do no harm, do right, you see, is how am I doing myself harm by limiting my beliefs that minimize my abilities to evolve? And that's a big question, you know, but am I awake enough to want to do that? Am I willing to let go of a lot of things? And look, I'm the first one to say that I got my own addictions, you know, and my own little selfish nuances going on.
Oh, don't we all? It's, yeah. Unfortunately, that is very much part of being human. Are those little vices that we all have, and if you even want to call them vices, based on what definition I would challenge. But that being said, there are times, it's the balance of life. There are times where you need to be a little selfish for yourself and give yourself a little bit more time because you need the rest, you need the rejuvenation, you need the self-care. And then there are times when others need you and you need to do your best to help and to do right. There's a quote that I think has widely been attributed to Plato, if it's accurate. The only thing that, I'm going to paraphrase, the only thing that is required for evil to succeed is that good humans or good people do nothing.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement. You know, just letting things go.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to get involved. Ah, I don't want to be bothered. Ah, that's so far away. You know.
Oh, it would cause too much trouble. I don't like conflict. Yeah.
And
all that stuff.
You know, it just depends on the situation. Life is varied and complex, but there are times when wrong is being done and people ought to challenge it. Because if we don't, then you have places like North Korea.
Oh, let's not even go there.
Yeah.
You know, and again, people living in that reality. I've said this time and again on this program. A reality is subjective, based on our environment. So no matter what we decide to, you know, preach to the world, we also have to understand that it is relative to our environment. If you are raised in a community like North Korea, and as I understand North Korea to be, it's in that oppression. It's not democratic. You know, they have their God and they follow the ways of their God and the propaganda and so on. That is your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So our discussion to folks there would be completely absurd.
Well, and that brings up the other kind of point that I was going to address about something we were talking about prior to the broadcast, is that every, you know, one fundamental principle, I would say, of being a humanist, a metaphysical humanist, is that, you know, doing no harm and not controlling people when you don't have the right to. And there are certain systems and places where, you know, authoritarian regimes all over the world where you have a government that is actively harming their people for the benefit of the few. And that completely goes against the principle of do no harm and do right.
I think, and even in our own neighborhoods, we can probably name a few politicians right here doing that.
So, oh, I think in any neighborhood, in any you know, municipality, town, city, you're going to find corruption. It's the cancer of any government system.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why being an active role, and, you know, everybody's going to have different opinions. And we all, I hope, will come to our deeply held beliefs honestly. And I would hope that we all would take other perspectives into account. But ultimately, we all have the right to, you know, well, nobody wants to get up here and tell you how you should vote or how you should think or how you should believe politically or anything like that. That's not what my goal is. My goal is simply to state that in situations, and you can point to extreme examples, you know, North Korea, an oppressive regime, their people are constantly lied to. They have no freedom of choice. They have no freedom of will, even in their own lives.
I don't think they know what a voting booth is.
They couldn't imagine it. That's the farthest thing from their minds.
Exactly.
A place like Iran, where you have kind of an upper class that has some privileges, but a mass of people that are ruled by a theocracy. Of one group telling you how you should live.
Yeah.
And let's also talk about those old dogmatic beliefs that have harmful things built in, because, you know, there are histories littered with examples of people who, oh, I'm sure that they justified it by trying to save these people's souls, but they would use violence and terror to convert people into a specific religion. I'm not going to, you know, well, you could take your pick of any of them, really. And it's not just any religion. It was the barbarism of humanity at that time in our development. You can't really pin certain things on any specific religion or people. It's this... you can at certain times, of course, but the point being is that we are growing as a human species. We are evolving socially, and we need to evolve socially to the point where, on a more global level, we are coming to that point of doing no harm and being more aware of what that means, of what harm we can cause. You know, nobody wants to be the bad guy. Nobody thinks that they're evil. Nobody thinks that they're doing wrong. Everybody feels they're justified in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Michael.
But.
Yeah, but again, an old friend of mine would say most people live in the Church of Justification. So, you know,
it's a fun place to live, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, again, it's a do no harm. When we check in with ourselves, right to how we conduct our lives and how we interact with others, to following through, what do my actions do? How does that go? And when you do hear about it, and, you know, eventually, because, again, you know, we trust that where our recycling is going. But you read something in the news or you follow through, then that's worth a phone call or a letter.
Right.
You know, participate.
Well, and, you know, continue to recycle, because most of the garbage in the Pacific is not from recycling. It's from people. A lot of, like, I actually looked up a stat on it. 20% of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch came from ships and their trash.
Mm-hmm.
80% came from land-based sources, not even from coastal places, but it gets dumped into the rivers, the sediment goes out into the ocean, and most of that plastic actually falls underwater, which is a crazy thing to think about, considering that giant patch that's floating on the surface. But a little aside, I know we're kind of wrapping up this segment. We're going to be drawing some inner oracle cards and tarot cards here in a few minutes, so...
Yeah.
Make sure you put your name in chat. But any last thoughts on this topic before we move on?
No, I like this subject for the reminder. It's something that each of us, and certainly who's in the chat room, who's listening in the archives, we know this. We really do. We know it in ourselves. And it's the reminder to take a little inventory and then stretch it out a little further and say, have I been harming inadvertently, and how can I correct that? Is there something in myself? Am I hurting myself? Am I hurting others? You know, and begin to evolve. Your spiritual evolution is the only thing that's important, ever. You know, you can say you have money, you can say you have a house, you can have a lot of stuff, material world, but dead is dead. And when you're dead, you know, what does that mean? It, to me, it's the spirit evolution, the soul's evolution of what am I here to learn, to contribute, to evolve. And that requires, you know, learning what it means to be human and living up to what is in our memory. You know, I've written it in the course material, but it's we're not learning to be spiritual. We're remembering how to be spiritual as a human being. So if we can get that notion in our heads, we can do no harm, and we know automatically what the right, you know, the right way to be is, at least a better way. Sometimes, you know what, there's the lesser of the evils, Michael, there's no right answer, but you're going to pick one that at least creates some kind of momentum toward goodness. So I think we have to be careful that we're not implying that you're looking for idealism, but you're looking for a progress, you know, something that moves things forward to, you know, a better place, improved. So should we get on with some cards, Michael? I know we get some people.
Yeah, we have some people that are they're queuing up for some cards, you know. And, of course, we're drawing from two decks. I'm going to draw from the Inner Oracle cards from the Metaphysical Humanistic Church. And Dr. Hunter, you're going to be pulling the tarot. We're going to kind of pair them together. And I have always loved, Dr. Hunter, your insight. You have an intuition that is I've always found remarkable. My hope is that we can pull a card and maybe the probability of what card comes out maybe gets you thinking. And let's see what we have first. And I believe we have Jamil up.
We do.
Jamil, let's see. Number 11, awareness. Great card for the night. You need awareness to avoid doing harm to others. Awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
The Wheel of Fortune is in support of awareness, Jamil. Now, how I see that, Wheel of Fortune is taking chances. Don't take it literal, but it's taking risks, taking chances, stepping outside your comfort zone, like stretching your boundaries a little bit. So in that self-awareness, you're able to see beyond how your reality was framed. And I think that may be a little shift of your consciousness going on. You got to remember that when people are raised in a reality, we go as far as that reality teaches us. Oh, Wendy says, Jamil had this card back in May. Awesome. So there's something repeating for you, Jamil. And he just got that card for himself, too. Well, he was mentioned. He remembers that. So it's that stretching outside what is comfortable for you and knowing that, you know, it's kind of like when you live on this side of the tracks, you can actually even go visit or stretch yourself to go live on the other side of the tracks. I like that. I really like that message.
Good message. All right. Yeah. All right. Now, resident card keeper Wendy, so glad to have you here. I know you haven't been feeling too well, and hope you're doing better. Wishing you all the best. And we have number 36 tonight, gratitude.
All right.
Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life, while giving freely, without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. So, good card, and definitely want to extend our gratitude, Wendy, to you for keeping track of the cards and for what you bring every week, joining us in the live chat. Love your presence. Love having you here. Thank you.
Well, and I got the world in support of gratitude, so that's awesome. The world, when you think about all the elements, like say, let's say being at a pivotal kind of cosmic moment where, you know, all possibilities open up. You know, it's like the big windows and doors open up. And what is it that you want? Where do you want to go? It's like taking that inventory for a moment, saying, oh, this is good. Look how far I've come. This is, you know, it's great. Yeah, I've been sick, but look how I've learned from it and I'm getting better. Thankfully, there was treatment. You know, seeing that other side. I'm not saying being sick is nice by any stretch, but coming on the other side of it, now the world opens up and say, this is a good day. So it's taking that inventory for a moment and seeing life through new eyes. So I like that for you, Wendy. I do. So you're going to be fine, by the way. I know it. Yep.
I love hearing it. Good message. All right. And I believe our last card of the evening is for Ronnie. And if we missed here, if you still would like a card, throw your name in real quick. But
yep.
Ronnie, I have number 4, past, present, and future. Past, present, future. Let's see, I keep skipping past it. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are 1. You are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
You know, Ronnie, I pulled one card and I said, that's interesting. And I pulled another as kind of a partner card to say, what is that message? So with the past, present, future, and taking inventory, the 3 of spades came up, which is kind of, simply put, disappointment. So I pulled another card and it's the 3 of hearts. Now, 2 threes. I'm saying think of triangles, right? But each of these triangles has a different energy. This triangle is of disappointment, pain, grief, and then this other, it's of hope and, feeling incentive and inspired. So there's this, which I find really interesting with past, present, future. When we take inventory, that's what happens. We're healing from disappointment and replacing it, and that's really important to say that, replacing it with hopefulness. So I think there might be something, this is just indicating that at some level that you're healing from something. Now, I want to make clear, again, in the material that I write, I talk about the thread in a blanket. You know, it's that sometimes each of us trips over something, but there's one thread in our blanket that seems to have a glow-in-the-dark kind of its own resonance that isn't in keeping with the rest of our blanket. So we need to go in and discover what that thread is. That doesn't mean, you know, we got mental illness or we're all crazy or anything. It just means like any one of us has a thread that gets out of sorts. So we have to go in and detect that thread and pull it out and replace it with a thread that is in keeping with the rest of our tapestry. So, and that's kind of the visual that just came to mind there, Ronnie, is there something that is in there that's just kind of poking at you to say, hello, I want to be seen, and let's change the energy of this so that you're more hopeful in matters of love and successes. So, I know I really stretched that out, but I hope that makes sense to you.
Okay. Well, interesting message, and I know there have been times when I've had that feeling myself, so I could relate to that kind of situation, but something trying to make itself known, something your inner self is trying to tell you. But very interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm not seeing anything else in there, Michael, in the chat room.
I believe that's it for our cards this evening.
And I would just like to, you know, remind everyone at some level of, you know, again, in keeping with our topic tonight, review the 9 principles of belief just on your own, maybe after the program. Just take a brief visual through them on the website and maybe see them from a different point of view or in a way you hadn't, or read one of them kind of hits you. It's that, oh, okay, it's just that a little more awakening for you. And again, I'm not meaning to harp on you to do that. It's the 9 principles of belief, which is, tell you what, it's the 9 principles that first attracted me to this church and to this school. I love the 9 principles of belief. It's, for so many years, the things that I had believed in but hadn't articulated in this way. So when we're in these changing times where it's scary out there, because it is, sometimes really alarming, when you've got your evac kit at the door,
I can only imagine. Well, actually, we've done that for the hurricanes, but...
Yeah, I know you have, Michael. So we all have our own experiences, but it's that reminder, you know, where we go through just this, I'm okay, you know, we're okay. And a lot of people have it a lot worse than I do today, and checking in with myself. But how can I make myself available more to life? How can I make myself more available to my family and my friends? Maybe I'm not good at getting out there and being social with people, but I can certainly make myself available to my sphere of influence in some way.
Absolutely.
It's just a reminder, and this is how... even if we don't know how we're doing harm, we can certainly do more right to negate some inadvertent harm we're doing. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. I often think, and this is, I guess, kind of aside to that, I often wonder, how many things do I believe to be true right now and I'm completely wrong about? How many things have I done that I thought were good and I was completely wrong about it?
Michael, my disclaimer for about 30 years with people is, well, that's what I believe this week, but if you talk to me next week, it could be different. So I've had to have a disclaimer, because every time I think I've seen it all, I ain't seen nothing yet. So, I'm always very careful with that.
When you live in an infinite universe, there is infinite possibility. Yep.
And it's a different reality than, I have to tell you, I'm going to share this little story. I was up here in Canada, as you know, marijuana and such is legal.
What?
So I was driving down the street, and, you know, my car windows are rolled down, and there's a guy smoking a joint. And, of course, the, you know, this big fumes come right into my vehicle. And I had this split-screen picture in my head about how life is so radically changed in my lifetime. I was a little girl lighting my mother's cigarettes for her, and yet knowing people who had gone to jail for 10 years for being in possession of even one joint. And now, fast forward these years, it's like you're a pariah if you smoke tobacco, but you could smoke a joint walking down the street in the public, making people stoned. Like, this is what makes me crazy. Oh, don't just take yourself with you, honey. Let's take the whole world, you know, which
I'm just shocked that Canadian society hasn't crumbled at this point.
No, so far we're all good. I'm more stoned, I think, but I don't know.
More relaxed.
I don't do marijuana myself. I don't like it, but I don't like those drugs. But I don't care what people do. I mean, as a kid, I was around it all the time and did my share. But I just see this irony, you know, these juxtaposed realities of how much our reality has changed. It hasn't been that long, you know.
I actually thought that myself, too, when I was going to, I don't even know how national or global this is, but there's a chain called Moe's. It's a little burrito shop. And I was going there, and there's a marijuana dispensary next door in the strip mall. I'm like, you didn't used to see that. And again, I'm not saying that's bad. I think that the hype over marijuana and cannabis, it was ridiculous, going back to Reefer Madness and the unfortunate case in some nation states, my own included, is that many people have had their lives ruined over something that is, you know, not to be necessarily ignored. It's not, you know, harmless, but it's on the same par as many legal drugs that we use, alcohol and others. So, you know, I would say, well, let's think about that too. What is the inadvertent harm that some of these policies are causing? Another thing to tack on. But as we wrap up on this, I guess any last thoughts before we transition out?
No, I'm good. I really wish everybody all the best this week, and sending Wendy some energy and other people. And, you know, one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and do your best. That's all that can be asked of you.
We all just do the best we can with the knowledge that we have, and we all do our best to increase that knowledge and awareness every day. And we're going to find out that we erred. We're going to find out that we did wrong, but we can do our best to correct it, learn from it, and move forward. That's always the goal. So tonight, as we kind of wrap up the evening, I'm going to end it with the full first principle of belief. As sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle, do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity, something we're always striving for to build a better world. So with that, I will say good night, everyone. Be safe out there, especially in areas that are facing climate strife. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.